How exactly do you intend to escape from hell?
We're going to escape through that wall.
But there's no wall there.
Oh, Matt. Sweet, simple Matt. Of course there is. It is the fourth wall.
Oh.
Let's talk about your reviews a little bit regarding intravenous DeMilo. This tasteless cover is a good indication of the lack of musical invention within. The musical growth rate of this band cannot even be charted. They are treading water in a sea of retarded sexuality and bad poetry. Well,
that's nitpicking, isn't it?
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 124 featuring Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham with the Sarcastic Voyage Players.
Yes. Hi, hello.
How's it going, everybody?
I really need to think of new ways. Didn't we have a contest for that once?
Yeah, we did, and then we forgot about it.
This again?
We Trying Hard to Cone.
Yeah, We Trying Hard to Cone won a prize. I remember that. The award-winning Jessie Pants. So that was nice.
And her award-winning pants.
Yes. Have her pants won? If not, we're giving them one now.
Yes.
We will personally pin.
Congratulations, Jessie. You have the best pants.
You won best place. Mm-hmm. Best pants. Best in pants.
Yes.
So, well done you.
Jolly good.
Jolly good. How long have you been a rubber then? 4'1"? That is a long time. Jolly good. Wow, if there were a place on this show for us to talk in fake English accents instead of here.
If only there were a place in this show for us to just do Eddie Izzard impressions.
I was doing John Cleese, actually, but that works as well. So Talk Like a Pirate Day happened a few weeks ago.
It did indeed.
Happens. This is something I wanted to mention, speaking of funny voices. And for some reason, there was a huge backlash this year, which I've never really been into that anyway. But the backlash was that Disney invented the pirate voice, which is actually true.
Mm-hmm.
It was invented for an adaptation of Treasure Island. The voice that we associate with pirates came from some actor who played a pirate in Treasure Island. Okay, fine, whatever. I thought a fun sort of alternative would be Talk Like Sinatra Day.
See, I think this is a great idea.
I think, you know, you need to get your cuckoos in there and your jacks in there and your ring-a-ding-dings. And I can't do it right now because it takes a bit of doing.
It does.
But it's a thing. If you get into the groove of it, I think it would be, you know, tremendous fun to have.
Only Sinatra could really do it without any practice.
Well, yeah, but I think any of the Rat Pack could have pulled it off, those guys.
True.
But I think there was a whole culture of guys who could talk like that. And you know, it's a great, very specific. I suppose that movie Swingers was a bit like that.
Yeah.
But I think they kind of veered off in their own weird territory.
Mm-hmm. And you got to be careful because you could easily veer into into Jersey territory.
No, that's a whole other thing, Jack. That's a ring-a-ding-ding. I only got three things. So
ring-a-ding-ding, get on the trolley, snap your
fingers. No, it's not get on the trolley.
Get on that trolley.
That's a great expression, but that's not a Sinatra expression, Jack. No, so I was listening to some old, albums that they did together, like in Vegas. It was like, you know, Frank and Dean and Sammy. I forgot how racist those were.
Yes.
When Sinatra would do a duet with Sammy Davis Jr. of Me and My Shadow.
Mm-hmm. Not, which,
No. Not great.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's a lot of good banter in there, and I'm always keen to listen to examples of banter, because we do that here. And
sure.
I like to, you know, most talk show models are like Conan and Andy Richter, or Dave and Paul, or, you know, a main guy and a guy who says, uh-huh. And I think we need something where it's like a two equals thing.
Yes.
Because, you know, right now, Matt, I'm sorry to be the one to tell you this, but you are kind of my Paul Schaefer.
Wow. Really?
Listen, you're Canadian. You laugh at my jokes. You're Paul Schaefer. I'm sorry.
All right, fuck this. I quit.
So, yeah. But the Sinatra thing, like, I was, okay, we could do this. We could do the patter they do. We could do the, you know, no. No, we really can't.
No.
It's that's a bygone era, to put it nicely. Although Dave would make a nice Dean Martin, and,
oh, damn, yeah.
His glass wouldn't have Alpa juice in it, so there's that. and then for some reason, listening to that put me in mind of this movie. This is one of those sort of, we started out doing this, and we don't do this enough anymore. We like, on our very first episode, we talked about Mr. Limpet, and mm-hmm. every now and then I feel like we need to dig up something from the past that people have forgotten about that they need to remember.
Start poking it with a stick.
Yeah, there's this movie, I don't know if you've heard of this, or if you saw me talking about it on Twitter the other day. There's a movie called The Toy, which came out, I think, in 1980, 1981, somewhere around there.
Does not ring a bell.
Jackie Gleason is in it.
Uh-huh.
You can watch him while you eat now, by the way.
Oh, good.
If you didn't know.
What's a rerun?
You'll find out.
Your kids are going to love it.
Jackie Gleason is a millionaire guy. Who typical, you know, big oil, like sort of boisterous, rich guy who can't really bond with his son. And so, here's the wacky premise. He doesn't know how to bond with his son. He doesn't know how to get his son to open up or whatever. So he buys a human being to entertain his son.
Okay.
Richard Pryor.
Ah, I was just about to ask how this could possibly get worse.
Top notch, you know, top bill, height of his career, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, Richard Pryor, who at this point, granted, was doing whatever movie role came to him because there was a big fat paycheck involved, and that man liked his cocaine.
Daddy needed his cocaine.
Yeah, until he set himself on fire freebasing, but that's a story for another time. Richard Pryor is the sympathetic character in this story. I don't want to distract from the lead here.
I'm sorry, but a movie where Jackie Gleason buys an African-American gentleman.
Yeah, in 1980, not 1780.
No.
1980.
And a lot of people apparently thought that this was a grand idea.
This was one of those movies, and I always come back to the same dozen movies because I was fortunate. We had cable in our house, and HBO ran the same damn movies over and over again. And before we had a VCR, that was it. I watched what was on HBO or cartoons, and so I would see the same movies over and over and over again. That's why I've seen Short Circuit a million times, and most of the Police Academy movies, and The Toy, where Richard Pryor is a toy that Jackie Gleason has bought for his son.
Wow.
It was. Yeah, I don't even remember if I liked it or not. I remember there was a vaguely risque scene where the kid asks Richard Pryor what his penis is for.
penises in general are for, or what Richard Pryor's penis is for?
I remember the line. It's, what do you do with your thing? And I don't even remember. I know they played it sort of poignantly, like where Richard Pryor was teaching him the facts of life, and it wasn't even a joke. But I remember being a little kid and giggling at it just because the kid was talking about a thing.
When you're that young, your penis has a very clear purpose. It does one thing.
I don't know how old the kid was supposed to be in the movie. I don't remember. I remember he was prepubescent, but I don't remember how close. But the point is, you know, really? If you don't teach your kids about sex, I guess Richard Pryor will. Is that the message?
I certainly hope he doesn't teach kids about it now.
Well, I think he may no longer be with us.
I am the ghost of Richard Pryor.
Much like
let
his
me
beloved.
Tell you what your penis does.
Well, no, I think there's a bit there. I think there's a. Well, they've banned sex ed in schools. What will we do? The ghost of Richard Pryor. Hi, kids. I'm Richard Pryor.
I feel like that's a mid-80s sitcom.
Or like a Schoolhouse Rock.
While shopping for some cans, Richard Pryor passed away.
Well, that's much better than the way he actually died.
Well, yes.
Of horrible multiple sclerosis. I mean, one sclerosis is okay, but multiple bad.
Oh, God. He had just had to have all the sclerosises.
All the scleroses. But yeah, much like his... His frequent co-star Gene Wilder no longer with us.
Yeah,
may he rest in peace. Yeah, but there really was a movie where Richard Pryor was a possession that was bought by Jackie Gleason to entertain his son. I feel like the world needs to remember that.
Your homework for this week is to seek out The Toy and watch it. It might be on YouTube.
I may do that my own damn self just because it's been, you know, 30 years and I'm curious.
Yeah.
What the hell it was about. Oh, and there was a lady with a horrible Southern accent. I even knew this when I was 8, but she had boobies, so. So there's that.
Time to learn about penises, y'all.
Yep. My childhood is a very strange place. Oh, boy. So, I think that's about all. I think we're ready to launch into the show part of the show.
Well, all right.
I don't know how we can possibly follow that up, so. Enjoy, won't you? We will be right back.
Right back.
Hello, I'm Michael Emerson, star of TV's Lost. And I, like many people in the world, used to take getting references to pop culture for granted. That's until I learned of pop culture reference amnesia, or PCRA. It's a condition that affects literally tens of people. For instance, spare a thought for poor English Gav, who contracted PCR amnesia at an early age, and now can only watch television shows like Family Guy and Community, thinking they're a hard-hitting look at contemporary life. That's why I support the Pop Culture Reference Amnesia Association for Rehabilitation into the Common Population. At the PCRAARCP Institute, a dedicated pop culture technician is there to guide each sufferer through seasons of their favorite television shows, telling them where they've seen that actor before and what the in-jokes are in reference to. Just a $1 donation from you can help pay for a Breaking Bad coloring book, essential to the identification of characters. Oh, here's English Gav now after his first week. How's the treatment going?
Well, I've forgotten where the institute was for the first few days. This is actually the first time I've made it in.
It's at 221 Baker Street. How could you not remember that?
I thought it was Butcher Street. Made a huge mistake.
Ah, well, I see hope is not lost then.
Is it? Did I use one?
Yeah, because... never mind. Anyway, do you know what I was in now?
Patio 5?
No. You're not thinking, are you? Think Desert Island.
Oh, was it Survivor?
It was Lost. Fucking Lost. It's only been off the air a year, but you wouldn't damn well think it the way my agent gets on. I'm stuck doing shit commercials like this. I can play other things. I can do comedy. He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. Shakespeare, to be or not to be.
I think I'll go now.
And now, as part of their court-mandated community service, Al and Matt present an educational trip around the world with Sarcastic Voyage International.
I don't believe this.
Look, it's not my fault. The car overheated.
I'm not saying it's your fault, but I am saying that we're going to be late for this thing.
I'm aware of that. I just think, oh good, we've started.
Son of a bitch.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Sarcastic Voyage International, a thrilling trip around the world. This week, we're...
running a little behind due to some engine trouble.
We sure are. This is not the rolling hills of Sicily that we were prepared to explore so much as it is,
a sun-bleached stretch of lonely desert highway on the way to Sicily.
Yes, that is true. But that doesn't necessarily mean we can't have a show.
Right, we're still in the world. Today we're in the breathtaking sands of... where are we?
GPS says... no satellite reading. That can't be good.
Right, glorious no satellite reading, home of enchanting cactuses and a variety of local wildlife. Why, there goes some local wildlife now. Oh, I guess it's circling around again. Al, you're a frequent fan of birdwatching. What would you say that is?
It's like a vulture.
Fantastic. I can also see, I guess it's a cow skeleton. And, oh, look, a native approaches in a pickup truck.
Oh, thank God. I don't think we could sustain this bullshit any much longer.
You boys all right?
We're okay. Our car broke down on the way to Sicily.
Sicily? Hell, that's back the other way, son. You boys is heading straight for Venice.
Hell, I knew we were going the wrong way.
No, you didn't. You don't know anything.
You need a lift?
A gas station or something would be nice.
Hell, I can do better than that. Hop in.
Why, thank you!
Okay, that's it for Sarcastic Voyage International this week. Join us next week where we'll be hopefully far away from here.
Let me ask you an honest question. You boys ever been to a genuine rape camp?
This has been Sarcastic Voyage International.
And in other news, Mitch Hurwitz of the critically acclaimed television series Arrested Development announced today that the much-beloved program will be returning to the air after 5 years.
Finally!
Al, what are you doing?
It's finally happened. My years of devout worship have paid off.
Your what?
It's coming back, Matt. Just as it was foretold in the end, Arrested Development is coming back.
Oh, yeah, I think I read about that. They're finally getting around to the movie.
Finally? Yes, Matt. My long years of quiet patience have come to an end. Now it's time to haul out the old altar and make sure it never goes away again.
The altar.
That's right. As it was written in the before times, ye shall make for me an altar of sticks and mud, and a solid weekly schedule shall be affected not by the Super Bowl, nor by the World Series, nor even by reruns of Glee. Upon ye altar ye shall sit for unto 22 days, not one less, and on ye last day ye shall partake and be wed unto an ice cream sandwich, and it shall be good. So, so good.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty great.
Alas, ye shall not be there to see it.
What?
For the great and angry gods at Fox demand a sacrifice upon a pillar of atrocious reality TV shows and Family Guy spinoffs. Though it pains me, that sacrifice must be you. For I already tried to sacrifice Amanda, and she yelled at me.
You fool. If you kill me, we'll finish writing this sketch.
I've made a huge mistake.
Watch me trick Fred out of his pebbles.
Pebble cereal. Get your pebble cereal here. Only 5 clams per box. Comes in 2 delicious flavors, fruity and cocoa.
I'm just a caveman from a poor family. Good morning, sir.
Morning, mister. Say, would you like to...
Don't mind me, sir. I was just...
Hang on a second. Barney, why are you wearing that terrible mammoth hair mustache?
Oh, you caught me fair and square, Fred.
You were trying to steal my pebbles again, weren't you?
Yep, that sure is what I was doing, Fred.
Hang on a minute. You were walking right by me. What's your game, Rubble?
I was gonna steal your actual pebbles, Fred.
Beg your pardon?
Your daughter, Flintstone! You spent so much time selling this horrible cereal with a name on it that you've forgotten you have a daughter!
Bon, what's the big idea?
Fred, look at her. You can see her ribs. She hasn't eaten in a week, and she's covered in her own filth.
We are cavemen, Barney.
Don't give me that shit, Fred. You're the modern Stone Age family. But look at you. You can't even take care of your own child. Wilma spends 18 hours a day sleeping, and the rest of it in the bathtub with that little elephant with the really long trunk.
Watch it, Rubble.
Don't think we don't all know what she gets up to in there, Fred. And you've stopped going to lodge meetings. You haven't been to a bowling tournament in I don't know how long. Mr. Slate says he assumed you got buried under some rocks at the quarry weeks ago. They declared you dead, Fred. There's a grave marker with your hard hat on top of it at the bottom of that pit. Joe Rockhead puts flowers on there every morning before he starts his shift.
Really? Joe brings me flowers?
And it's all because of this terrible cereal, Fred. You know the Cocoa Pebbles are just slightly odd-shaped Cocoa Krispies, right? And Fruity Pebbles turns your shit blue. You think the turtle toilet likes dealing with blue shit?
Eh. It's a living.
You stay out of this. Now listen, Fred. Either I take Pebbles to a good home or she'll be loved and cared for, or I can call Cave Protective Services. Those are your options.
Bonnie. My Pebbles.
And now the adventures of Nick and Willikin.
And Errol.
Last time, you'll recall, Nick expressed concern at having his identity stolen, an idea which intrigued Errol the dog's body, who set in motion a plan to do just that. Trust me, I'm making them sound much more capable than they really are.
I'll say you am.
And now we join our malfeasance already in progress.
Now how does this identificationary theft work then?
I think you have to rather become me, and then when you spend my money, people won't come over all suspicious-like.
Right.
And since I've got £1 billion, 5 million shillings, 29 bob, 50 quid, 12 sixpence, 6 threepence, 9 florins, 17 farthings, 3 half crowns, 15 jerkins, 61 doublets, and 23 breeches, you'll have to be very convincing.
Sir, most of those denominations no longer exist, and the last several were antiquated articles of clothing.
Bottle!
Ouch!
Well, we should, Here, wait a tick. If I'll be you, then who'd be me?
I suppose I will. That seems logical.
And I'll just remain Willikin, shall I?
No, that's far too confusing. You'll be the colonel.
Let's commencicate. Oi, Willikins, put the kettle on, and then put some food atop some other food. and give it me.
Ah, I'm a jerko. I say words o wrongo.
You're the worst, Toby. It should have been you that drowned, not the cat.
Arr, I'm a pirate, maybe?
What the f- Oh, no. Oh, no, not again. Screw this. I'm going out for a beer.
Was that- Wait, was that Dave?
It sounded like Dave. Winnikins, who are these people?
I'm not sure, sir, but they appear to have collapsed the ever-unreliable fourth wall upon our would-be assailant.
What are you, the fucking narrator?
Language! Oh, Winnikins, that wool clown talks. I love him!
Sir, put that down. You don't know where it's been.
Bloody right you don't. Now put me the fuck down, you...
You thinking what I'm thinking?
That this is more confusing than Inception?
Inception wasn't confusing. No, that we should, you know, escape while everyone's distracted.
Oh, I was thinking that, actually. Yeah, let's beat it.
When I get through with you with the Trials of Hercules, will feel like a high school debating society. And now...
Winnikins, I love my new friend, but he spells a bit sulfury. Drop him into the warship once.
Very good, sir.
What? No! No!
You know, Winnikins, a thought occurs to me.
First time for everything, sir.
With that fourth wall down, now would be a fine time to tell the good people about a product or service what they should be aware of.
A commercial, sir? How crass.
No! This is a public service, it is. These fine people really need to know about Bunny Bubbles designs.
Oh, that product or service. Yes, that's not crass at all. Quite classy, if I may say so, in fact.
You may not. This is my commercial. I've always wanted to be a radio pitchman.
Is that what you've always wanted to be?
Indeed, Willikins. Did you know that Bunny Bubbles not only makes soap?
Which I use to scrub your most unmentionable of unmentionables.
Right, those. Not only soap, but a wide variety of handmade gifts and costume items, like novelty jewellery and little devilions and tiny top hats. Ooh, Willikins!
Sir?
I should like a tiny top hat from our new woolen friend here.
I wonder, could I get a soap knife?
He's so adorable.
Indeed, sir. Did you tell them to order early for holiday delivery? Or that Miss Tedro, the proprietress of Bunny Bubbles, is happy to do custom soaps, hats, and horns, or to gift-wrap your order personally.
I'm telling them, Willikins. That's bunnybubbles.etsy.com and bunnyscrafthutch.etsy.com.
Be sure to enter coupon code SARCASTIC at checkout for 10% off. Not that I'd have any idea what sarcastic is, I'm sure.
Oh, Willikins, tell them she can make soaps what are indistinguishable from food, like pizza, or hamburgers, or pizza hamburgers.
I think you just did that, sir.
Tell them.
Tedro can make soaps that are...
Say it right.
Soaps what are indistinguishable from food, like pizzas.
Or hamburgers.
Or, as you say, hamburgers. Ah! Hamburgers.
Too right. Well, that's that then. One live commercial.
I feel dirty, sir.
You clearly need to buy more soap from Bunny Bubbles, Willikins.
Clearly.
And we're back with
Hooray.
The part of the show where we do the mail.
Yep.
This is where we answer the mail that you sent us and the voicemails that you sent us.
In case you haven't been paying attention for the past... God knows how many episodes.
Well, they don't have my show plan. They're not privy to
the rich details.
Yes. This is segment 124.08 in which we do, 09, in which we answer the mail. So just so you know. All right. Our first one comes from Flonk and it is not even addressed to us. So we're off to a smashing start.
Awesome.
He's actually using the show to communicate with other people. I think we call that the store.
Uh-huh.
And he says, Dear Shauna, why did the hipster burn the roof of his mouth? Oh, this is like a joke. It's a riddle. Any guess, Matt? Any idea?
I actually know the answer to this one.
Oh, damn. Well, why don't you tell us then?
Because he ate the pizza before it was cool.
Very good. Your pal, Flonk. Mm-hmm. Hipster jokes. Are those like Polak jokes now or whatever?
I think so, yeah.
Do I have to explain what a Polak joke is? I hope not.
I think no.
All right.
I think we should just move on.
Very well. Polish people are stupid. That's the point I'm trying to make. This next one's not exactly an email. I did want to mention this real quick. Just someone said something very nice about us, and I wanted to acknowledge it. Cause
oh, that's always a plus.
People get the idea that we read the you know, our criticisms, that we fixate on negative things. It's really just that one guy who said we needed more bits. I don't care if anyone else says negative stuff. It's just that one guy. Mm-hmm. I mostly like when people like us because, you know, we're shallow like that.
I need that ego boost.
I need that validation is what I need.
Yeah.
If I don't get acceptance from my parents, I'll get it from strangers on the internet. That's how the world works.
That's worked really well for me for the past few years.
So this guy, Jackson is his name. I don't know if he wants us to give his last name, so I won't. Wrote a piece, a rant, whatever you want to call it, on Google Plus as it happens. I think he might have put it on Facebook as well. It doesn't matter. The context is he's talking about quality and people who do things for money versus people who do things for love. And he cites us as an example.
Oh.
He says, why do my favorite podcasters, the Sarcastic Voyage crew, continue to put out hours of incredibly funny content every week for only a few thousand listeners? That's actually being generous. We have about 1,000, but thank you. His point is, we're doing this for love. We're doing this because we're artists with integrity, and I think it's cute that he thinks that. No, it was a very nice thing to say. He held us up as a paragon of guys who are doing something because they love it. There's nothing really funny here. We just
really appreciate that.
I like it when people think that. I don't know that it's true because, if I mentioned we're doing a fundraiser? But no, it's true. We do love this, mostly. All right. Next one comes from English Gav, and he writes, dear fellow Earthlings.
Says you.
Having been trawling through the science blogs recently, I came across the linked entry calculating our ability to detect spaceships in our own solar system. The result is basically we wouldn't be able to until it was too late due to its incredibly low magnitude of brightness. So given that we could be welcoming our new overlords at any time now, what do you suggest as a welcoming present? I'm thinking a bag of luxury nuts because that would be a nice gift, and on the off chance they have a nut allergy, problem solved. Yours in space, Alien Gav. He provides the link to that specific science article, which we will provide in the show notes.
I mean, I clearly think that if aliens visit Earth, we need to kill them as quickly as possible.
See, I think science fiction has instilled a fear in people of the unknown, which is exactly the opposite of what science fiction should be doing, right, which is making people love the unknown and think it's great. Mm-hmm. You know, risk is our business and so on. Yes. Good Stout Club and all those other great sayings.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the same thing with, like, why do we want to make self-aware machines? Then Terminator's going to happen. You know that was a movie, right? I'm just saying.
It's supposed to be not good.
Okay, so it happened in The Matrix, too. So it's two movies. But really, it's not reality.
No.
If we meet aliens, they might not try to kill us. You never know.
Although, you know.
Well,
unless they want our oil.
Well,
or that vanilla ice cream.
Or vanilla ice.
Oh, God.
That would be my gift. Here, take this gift on behalf of Earth, word to your mother.
They just dangle them out the window.
How about you? What do you want to give them? A good stout club?
Aliens. Yeah, a good stout club would be good.
Maybe they'll give you a fortune in precious stones. I just don't want to let that reference die.
Greetings, people of Hard On 2. I present to you this good stout club, for which I hope to be rewarded with many diamonds.
Or you could say, there was some public access, public domain, public TV, public something. No, he was on PBS, I think, late at night. You might have had this in Canada, too. I don't know. This sort of fat guy with a mustache, Jack Harkenpfeiffer. Yeah.
With various other Jerry Lewis sound effects.
He'd walk out, and he'd be on this star field, and he would tell you about the constellations and stuff. But he'd come out and say, greetings, fellow stargazers.
Oh, shit, yeah.
When you said greetings, whatever. That. That's what it made me think of. We should send them Jack Harkenheifer.
As soon as we can figure out what his name is, we'll send him right over.
He's probably dead, just like Bob Ross and all those other PBS guys. But there's an off chance that he's not. He might not be with the Happy Trees now.
Bob Ross isn't dead. He's just regenerated.
Oh, God. On a semi-related note, A Twitter friend of mine who I've known since the message board days, Gregory, the guy who came up with Brick Full of Bullets.
Ah, yes.
Which is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. This is Talk Like Frank Miller Day. And he said something about a brick full of bullets, which just made everyone laugh. Today he said, this guy's just full of great, like, funny stuff. We should get him on the show. He's great. What do you say? Blackadder is the jerk Doctor Who. And if you think about it, he regenerates. He's got a companion. He gets stuck with the same idiot companion every time. But I love that.
And Rowan Atkinson played the Doctor in a...
I heard that, yeah.
In a, there's, what do you call it? Some kind of skit.
There's an article out in BBC dated, well, dated the date of this recording, which will be long gone by the time you guys hear this.
Right.
Look, it takes a really long time to put one of these together, okay?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Oh, I know.
All right. Anyway, it says Rowan Atkinson is not completely dismissing the idea of doing another Blackadder series. So, ooh. I don't know if that would be any good or not, but it's
interesting.
I don't
know how I feel about that.
He did say they would acknowledge that they're old and it wouldn't just be them stepping back into the same roles. They would have to modify them to, you know.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So it was just interesting, and we'll link to that. Next one comes from Scott from Need Coffee, and he says, actually, Scott Frun Need Coffee. He spells from with an N for some reason.
Ah, good old Scott Frun.
And he says, what does Matt fear more, babies or Mr. Smlown?
Babies.
I don't think you fear babies. I think we're on the same page as babies, which is that they're assholes.
Oh, God, they're horrible.
Little assholes.
Ugh. And they just drip like a thick viscous fluid all
yeah
over
we don't
everything.
I mean, everyone, we're well on record with our attitude with babies, and because there are a handful of listeners who like babies, I kind of feel like we need to just, you know, tone down the baby hate.
I mean I'm
not saying, you know, deny it, we hate babies, that's clear.
Yeah,
but we don't need to spend a lot of time on that.
Ugh.
My point is, you're not afraid.
No,
you're just, you don't like them, and neither do
no.
I. And smile. Oh, well,
stuff
for the subject of Mr. Smlown, please see the rest of the show. That's happening all around us as we speak. So, right. All right. Our next letter comes from Chris Page. I don't think Chris has ever actually written to us before.
That is surprising.
This is an auspicious occasion. Dear podcasters, how are you? I'm fine. My question for both of you is, if you had a raptor gun, all one word, raptor gun, what would you do with it? Yours in raptor gun. And he's made it a little hashtag. Chris. Matt, do you have,
I mean, I'm have not... a vague inkling of a raptor gun, but I'm really not.
I think we shouldn't answer this. I think we shouldn't answer this until we, you know, have a clear idea of what it, you know what? We haven't done a guest summoning in a while. I think, you remember the chant?
Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Good.
I've.
So, you weren't busy or anything.
Yeah, I was cooking dinner, and I have suddenly been summoned away from it. So unfortunately, my food will burn, but that's okay because I'm podcasting. So, you know, there's that.
That's fine.
That is better than food.
Well, I can actually see a tiny fire off in the distance on the other side of Seattle. So,
a tiny fire where Tiny Tim once sat.
I don't know what that is, but I like it. So we got your letter. And first of all, we never get mail from you, so that was a delight. But raptor gun?
Yes.
I need a little clarification. What is a raptor gun?
Okay. A raptor gun is essentially, as I suppose the best way to phrase it, is a gun that shoots raptors. Now, it should be noted, this is a gun that shoots raptors as ammunition as opposed to actually, like, shooting and killing raptors. Although, I suppose you could do that in a fit of irony.
So, velociraptors, the dinosaur stars of the original Jurassic Park.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
So, that's the basic premise. In and of itself, the concept
is it like a revolver? Is it like a rifle? Is it like a bazooka?
There's been some speculation on this. I think that it could quite possibly come in most any kind of gun form, depending on how you really wanted to work it. I prefer to think of it as being in pistol form myself, because that's easier to carry.
Sure,
but then they would be really tiny. I mean, to fit, you know, more than one raptor in that barrel, they would have to be, you know, the size of ants, maybe.
Well, we actually figured out, after doing some more research on this, that raptors were only about a foot and a half tall in reality.
Yeah, not so much as the...
As the Jurassic Park ones. Would have you believe, the weren't they like the height of humans in that?
Yes.
And opening doors and such?
Also feathered.
Yeah, feathered.
Well, yeah, now we know that the dinosaurs were birds, but I'm assuming Chris is running with the earlier, cooler definition of a dinosaur, which is a lizard monster.
Yes. But the interesting, the way we figured it out, because this actually came up at work during a managerial meeting, I can't.
Well, yeah, you keep saying we, so presumably this isn't only your concept. Is this what they're paying you to do to conceive Raptor
Yes,
guns?
Yes, it is.
Meanwhile, at Raptor Gun Incorporated.
No, it came up in a managerial meeting, and one of the other managers happened to take the idea, and as I often do, run with it, and the two of us spent the rest of the day discussing this over instant messages, and then she went home and argued about it with her husband for the better part of several hours, including the logistics of how a Raptor Gun would actually work. So I do have some science behind this a little bit.
Ooh, excellent.
Well, see, and it occurs to me that something like half of the people in Seattle are, you know, engineers at Boeing. So I get the idea that somebody with an actual scientific background probably picked this up at some point. And
it's possible. So the basic idea is we found some way, we don't know quite the science behind this yet, to shrink the Raptors down and fit them inside of the casing on a bullet.
Well, that's a standard shrink right there. That's not science. That's just a fact of life.
And so from that point, then the bullets are then shot out of the gun at a person. Now you run into two different theories here on how Raptor gun works. One could be that the bullet breaks apart and the Raptor comes out of the bullet and lands and then attacks whatever you want it to attack. The problem with that is that bullets spin when they're shot. And so the Raptor could possibly land on its head or on its side.
Or get dizzy and throw up.
You don't really want a dizzy velociraptor necessarily.
No.
Well, maybe you don't.
My thought was that the bullet would explode on impact with whatever you're shooting it at, and the Raptor would then just be thrust upon whatever it is that it's being shot at. So you could, in theory, have a dizzy velociraptor that's attached to your body at this point because the bullet has then impacted with someone's chest, for example.
Sure. Side note, Dizzy Velociraptor is my Dinosaur Jr. cover band, but please continue.
And so that's basically where we started with... the person in question, my coworker Kat, her husband then proceeded to argue about possibly involving a Tyrannosaurus Rex in some kind of weapon, but then you get to all kinds of... it seems rather unwieldy to have a T-Rex as well.
No, it's very big to be fired at anyone.
Yeah.
Plus, they got those tiny arms. That's got to figure in there somewhere. When I was a kid, I thought T-Rex was the coolest one, and then the more I think about it, the more those tiny arms just make me realize that, no, it's just a joke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, all the other dinosaurs are laughing at T-Rex behind its back because, hey, try to pick this up. Oh, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, if you launch it out of a gun at someone, like, it wouldn't really be able to latch on unless, like, it clamped on with its head or something.
Well, with its jaws, but yeah. So how many velociraptors do you think?
Well, I mean, you figure if you're doing, like, with a standard revolver, there'd be about six in a gun. But really, I mean, you could go with some guns up to, you know, 15 rounds in a clip. So,
but are you firing one at a time, or does each bullet have multiple?
I've decided that there's one in each bullet, but the Raptor gun is fully automatic, so you could launch, say, you know, 30 in a second if you really wanted to at someone. I don't know why you would, but in theory.
Well, presumably,
if you have to hit a Raptor somewhere very quickly, it's probably the way to go.
Yeah, I would think this is your top-notch delivery system for getting Raptors someplace very quickly. Or if you want to, say, take over the Nakatomi Towers to distract people with your fake political agenda while you steal whatever the hell was in that vault. I'm drawing a blank.
I believe it was bail bonds or something like that.
Right.
Some kind of monetary bond.
Yeah, exactly. Then that might be a way
to
go.
Well, actually,
Damn it, Alan Rickman.
Surprisingly, Raptor guns are used a lot at tea parties.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
They're actually the fashion accessory of the season at most fashionable tea parties nowadays. So, you know, if you're having a tea party,
I'm not seeing it as a fashion accessory, but I am if I'm picturing that whole setting, that whole, you know, like etiquette and all that, I could picture Raptor guns being used if there was a falling out and you have a duel.
It's quite possible. They could be decorative. All I know is that I have been informed that they are in fact the thing that you want at a tea party.
Huh.
See, I'm picturing, you know, like Southern gentlemen, you know, in their white suits, guys who call you Sir, and you know, face off, velociraptor pistols at
Absolutely.
Dawn.
I just feel like they'd all be escaping and eating the watercress sandwiches.
Oh no, my watercress sandwiches! The hostess would say,
and my pie.
I declare.
No, that's the other show.
Damn it.
All right, Chris. Well, we appreciate your time. I don't even remember the original question now, but
what would you do if you had a Raptor gun?
Well, I'm a pacifist, so I'd probably just give it to Matt on the condition that he not use it against me.
And I would, of course, lie to Al about whether or not I would use it on him. Then I would use it to shoot all of his watercress sandwiches.
Damn it! Oh no, my watercress sandwiches. I think we've created a new catchphrase here today, gentlemen.
Quite possibly.
And it'll look great on a shirt.
All right, Chris. Well, we appreciate it.
No problem.
I now return thee to thy flaming abode.
Watercress sandwiches.
In which you live. A la watercress sandwiches! Let's see what else we have in the old mailbag here. Next one comes from our pal Dirk Walker. Nice to hear from him. It's been a while. It's titled, Oh Yeah, Emails. And he says, hi, I guess. Off to a great start.
Oh, well, how are you? See you too, I suppose.
How are you? I'm fine. First, I'd like to congratulate you two on making SV even more funny and poignant than before. Are we poignant now?
Oh, man, are we?
Oh, God. That was unintentional poignancy. That was not deliberate poignancy. There is, however, one minor flaw. He said that correctly. I fucked that up. Amidst all the bits and sundry pop culture references, I'm disappointed and frankly disturbed that you never talk about a reference to television gold that is Full House. Come on! Or should I say, have mercy? I don't know the delivery on that. The least you could do is throw in a Jesse and the Rippers reference every once in a while. Of course, in a perfect world, you'd have an entire episode devoted to this cornerstone of late 80s and mid-90s family-oriented comedy television. Just saying. I've never seen Full House. Not once.
I grew up right smack dab in the middle of its popularity, and I watched a lot of Full House. I just don't remember very much of it.
I've used it as a punchline, as a bad sitcom, but I don't actually know it to be bad. It's just an easy go-to.
Yeah, I have more memories of Family Matters, if we're going to talk about TGIF sitcoms from the early 90s.
That's the Urkel Show, right?
Yes, the Urkel Show featuring Urkel.
The Urkel Show featuring that cop from Die Hard.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I always come off as a snob when I say I didn't watch TV in the 90s. It's not because I was a snob, it's because I didn't have TV.
Yeah.
I moved out of my parents' house. This was before, you know, everyone had cable or satellite or whatever.
Before TV.
Yeah, it was very long time ago. Very, very long time ago. And, I mean, we didn't have even rabbit ears, so I couldn't watch anything. I went to my parents' house to watch Star Trek. That was it. So I missed a lot. I missed TV from 1992 to about 1998, so I missed it.
Yeah, I remember very, very little about Full House.
I do know.
Other than that, I was shocked to discover that Bob Saget is quite a filthy comedian.
I had heard that for years, and I thought it was some kind of weird, ironic joke, but then I saw him in The Aristocrats.
Yep.
And nope, he sure is. That is a movie that's come up several times recently. I'm going to have to rewatch that. I quite enjoy it.
The Aristocrats is really good.
It is. And it's maybe the only time a mime has made me laugh. I don't even remember now, but I remember the mime had a comedy mime had a version of the joke that was fucking hilarious. I will say that I was a fan, might be stretching it, but I appreciated Dave Coulier long before that show. He had a show on MTV called Out of Control, which was probably not great. It probably hasn't aged well, but it was sort of a sketch show, kind of bizarre, and it's sort of the, like, you can't do that on television. Everybody remembers that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Full House or Full House, Out of Control is the one that, like, was just as good, but nobody remembers anything about it.
Right. And well, was it Canadian?
Yeah. Well, it may have been. I don't know. But yeah, so there's that.
I heard that.
And then there was that other guy. Like, there's Bob Saget. There's,
oh God, what the fuck is his name?
He was married to Mystique.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. No,
Isn't it Stamos?
Stamos. John Stamos.
Yes. Exactly. All right. Next email comes from John Wiggins, and he says, this recipe I have for chicken salad calls for cooked chicken breast meat and cut up hard-boiled eggs, but it doesn't specify any order in which to combine them. So which goes first, the chicken or the egg? I think our friend is still trying to understand humor. I don't think he quite has it. But I'm pretty sure we need to get you in touch with Pat McDonald, because I think there's brine involved, and I think penetration.
Yes.
As I recall. So talk to our pal, Pat. He's on Twitter at Pat Shatner. He should be able to help you with all your chicken related.
With all your chicken needs.
Yeah. And keep verbing that noun. Next one comes from Bodhi, and he says, "Dear Voyagers, I was watching Rocky and Bullwinkle last night." Well, I approve of that. The one where the villains come to our world or something like that. Oh, the movie. I was wondering if the supervillains of comics, such as Joker, Mr. Freeze, the Black Knight, No Heart, is No Heart a thing? I don't recognize that one.
He was the bad guy from Care Bears, as I recall.
Okay. Well, he's just saying of comics. So, I mean, there was a Care Bears comic. And Magneto came to our world. They would probably enslave and or rape and pillage. Because this world has no superheroes, the only person who dresses up as a crusader that I know of is Captain Australia. I didn't even know there was a Captain Australia.
Yeah, my go-to is, oh God, what the fuck's his name? Phoenix Jackson.
Phoenix Jones. Yeah. Really sounds like he should be a blaxploitation guy, not a nerd in Seattle who's stopping pickpockets.
Yeah.
And
occasionally harassing us on Twitter.
Did he hurt? No, one of his fans harassed us.
Oh, that was it. Yeah.
I wish I talked to that guy directly. That fascinates me in a very interesting way. So what would we do if this universe became super villainy? Thanks, Bodhi.
One of the few recent Mark Miller comics that was actually really good, called 1984, that was basically about if, like, Marvel Comics villains came to, like, the real world.
Is that what that was? Because I thought it was a whole other thing, but then they went weird. Wasn't that supposed to be a Photostat comic at one point?
Yeah, but then they ended up not doing that.
Ah, okay.
Because it was hard.
Well, yeah, it is.
And anything that's hard to do isn't worth doing.
Yeah, like I said, this show takes a very long time to put together. labor of love. Just real quick, I wanted to clarify that. I don't think I'm using the right word, photostat. It was supposed to be a comic that was not art drawn, but it was supposed to be all photos of people in costumes.
Yeah, Fumetti, I think it's called.
That's the thing. Anyway, please continue.
Anyway, and he basically played it off like a horror flick, and it was actually really well done.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Just, like, creepy stuff where, like, MODOK is leading a bunch of, like, minding and controlling a bunch of people to just walk into a lake and drown.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, and I've always been of the opinion, the comic that I made years ago that, hey, if you want a copy, I'll just send you one. Mm-hmm. You pay for postage. I still got some. The premise was that there's a whole heroes, a whole city full of supervillains, and the natural tendency of people, if they get superpowers, would not be to save people. It would be to look out for their own self-interest. I firmly believe that. Like, with great power comes, yay, anything I want. That was the central thesis behind my comic. Next one comes from Ted Bigsby, and he writes, "Shalom, I'm glad you's guys is back and all. I don't think I mentioned that." Well, thank you. Yeah. A few months back, one of the paragons of nerd life, Mr. Chris Hardwick, came to my fair city, and I managed to beat him and get a photo. Afterwards, he said he liked the hidden enterprise in your logo. Thought y'all would enjoy the photo. Thanks again for your hard work on your shows. Dave 2.
Oh, that's cool.
This is a picture of Ted in his post-atomic horror shirt with the host of The Nerdist and the now televised Nerdist series, among many, many other things, Chris Hardwick. And yeah, so he's seen our logo. He likes our logo. I'm going to call this an entry in our contest because this one goes up there with Shauna and her picture with Felicia Day.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, that's a great picture, too. So
we are hoping to go and see him sometime this.
Yeah, that's right. We're looking to do that, maybe. We keep meaning to talk about that and doing other things.
Yes, well, we're very busy.
Yes, we're so busy. All right, next we have some voicemail that we got from people, and I'm talking slowly while I queue up the voicemail.
And I think I can draw out this part a bit longer.
Okay, let's hear now the first voicemail we received.
Hey guys, it's Scott. I was just calling because I haven't listened to the show in about 2 or 3 weeks, which is kind of weird because I usually listen to it the day of, but me not being at work and, you know, having a new baby and everything is kind of thrown everything out of whack, so I decided to call and leave a voicemail and ask what's been going on in the show, because I figured by the time you get this voicemail and by the time you record the show for it, I'll be able to be regularly listening and you guys can get me caught up in all the fun stuff I've been missing. So, but anyway, I got to go and make sure my baby's not suffocating or something like that. So thanks.
One thing I will say about Scott, while he apparently has an army of babies at his house, he's not afraid to make horrible, horrible dark jokes about them.
No, I appreciate that.
And while we do, in fact, not care for babies that much, we don't want that to happen either. So hopefully everything is okay.
Well-known fact is that Scott Zioko's babies are pretty much slime-free.
Yeah, I think he's building an army, is my theory.
Yep.
I believe for every baby his wife has, that's a new inductee in the Zioko army. And he made some comment about them being low self-esteem or whatever. And no. I think Scott maybe has his days where he doesn't feel, you know, quite up there. But I think his infant army is always ever vigilant and perfect killing machines.
Yep.
I truly believe that. As far as recapping the show, boy, well, this is episode 124. We've been back since 121. I don't even know where to start or where to begin, Matt. You got
bits.
I also like that he said, by the time I hear this, I'll be caught up. So it seems kind of redundant for us.
Really, we don't need to help you.
No, and the fact is we're now coming out every 2 weeks. So you really should only have maybe 3 shows to listen to.
Yeah.
So you get on that. Come on.
Why do we got to do everything?
I know. Why do we have to do anything?
Oh, I'm Scott. I'm so busy. What with having a kid and all.
Having whatever. An army of kids.
Having an army of kids.
All right. Next one. I don't know who it comes from because I haven't heard it yet. Let's listen together, won't we?
Hello, boys. Brewtown Andy here. After seeing Matt mention this on Twitter last night, I couldn't help but call in and see what his Pavlovian reaction is when I say the words Mass Effect.
We're not going to talk about Mass Effect. I forbid it. You know what I forbid even more? Dragon Age. I don't want to hear it. God damn it.
You ruin everything.
You ruin everything.
You do. I'm going to go play Mass Effect.
With your talk of computer games that I don't care about or play. No, I think he wants some kind of a reaction from you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have no reaction because I'm busy playing Mass Effect.
Some kind of a cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs thing or something.
Sure.
Kind of a sleeper agent. I've just set off your magic thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. All right. We got one more here from Scott Zioko.
Hey, guys. It's Scott. I just wanted to call and let your listeners know that it is perfectly safe to buy the Eco/Shadow of Colossus collection for the PS3. Safe is kind of a weird word for it. I guess just letting people know that, yeah, if you own a PS3, you probably should own that collection. It's $40, and $40 may seem a lot for just two PS2 games, but they look really, really, really good in high definition. So, and if you don't know what it is, Eco is basically a story about a little kid with horns guiding this little ethereal girl through a castle full of dungeons and shadowy people that try to pull her away. And Shadow of the Colossus is one of the greatest games ever made. Basically, it's basically taking a Jack the Giant Killer and taking it to a video game level. Just really, really good stuff. If you own a PS3 and you haven't played Shadow of the Colossus, pretty much need to buy it. So. Anyway, I guess I feel I need to compensate for that sucker punch rant. Like, I had so much negativity, I just poured onto your show. I felt like I needed to redeem myself by saying something very positive. And so my very positive thing to today is you should buy the Eco Shadow of Colossus collection for the PS3 if you like video games. And that's all for me. Looking forward to getting caught up with the show in a couple weeks. All right, bye.
All right. Well, I hope Scott received his check from whatever video game company designed those games.
Huh? What? Oh, sorry. I was taking a little nap there. But by Echo the Dolphin. Got it. Yes. Got it. Sure.
As for Echo, my thoughts on that can best be summed up by the video I'm sending you right now. I'll have to put in the show notes.
All right. I thought he said Echo, like Echo the Dolphin.
Oh no.
Oh.
Although I do have feelings on that too. It is the third worst dolphin simulator I've ever played.
Very well. Is it better than Wall Street Kid?
Better than Wall Street Kid with dolphins.
Wall Street Dolphin Kid?
Dolph Street Kid?
Dolphin Stroker?
I think I read a news article on that woman.
Oh, God. I think there's a King of the Hill episode based on that woman.
God dang it.
All right. That is all the mail that we have.
And what else
always,
is it that we don't have any more of?
Mail.
Oh, okay.
As always, we appreciate it. Podcast@elgar.com, 206-973-3982. We do appreciate any correspondence you send us. Still got our contest, although between Bigsby sending us a picture with Chris Hardwick and Shauna sending us a picture with Felicia Day, that's some tough action to beat, but you should give it a try.
Competition is fierce.
It is. The competition. So take our logos, go, yes, we all miss them. Go somewhere cool or with someone cool and get a picture, and we will send you a prize and a Smurf. I haven't forgotten about the Smurf. That's going to happen.
It's impossible to forget about the Smurf.
Yeah, he's looking at me still. Those of you who looked at the cover art for the Post-Atomic Horror last week, with me with my pain bucket over my head, you can actually see the Smurf staring at me. I thought about taking it out, and I was like, no, people need to see that.
People need to know about the Smurf.
Yeah. All right. That is all from us. Oh, and our fundraiser that we're kind of ashamed of, but is a necessary thing, is still going on. So check that out if you would. We have raised way more money than I ever thought we would. And yeah, you guys are awesome. And I feel like an ass even asking for more. But I think maybe one or two of you got a couple of bucks you haven't given us yet. So what the hell? Let's burn those last bridges and get this hospital built.
Yes.
For little Jimmy. Do it for little Jimmy. All right. That's all from us. We're going to stop talking now.
This installment of the Sarcastic Voyage podcast featured Ron Algar-Watt, Matt Robotham, Gav Brown, Chris Coleman, Gav Drury, Kevin Lynch, and Brian Lynch, with a special appearance by Chris Page. It was written by Ron Algar-Watt, Matt Robotham, Gav Brown, and Brian Lynch. I've been your announcer, the Announcitron 9000. When only the finest announcing will do, the Announcitron is your friend till the end. Visit SarcasticVoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions. Copyright 2011. Hey, welcome back. How are you guys doing down here?
Hey, thanks, man. Good to be back.
Yeah, yeah, that was great.
Nice to see you're keeping the lab in good shape here. Hey, didn't we have another little friend with it? Matt, where's your friend?
You know what? I don't care. He can go off and die.
Well, my concern is that he might be, I don't know, he's stuck in the show. Well, like, I guess it doesn't matter. How could that possibly harm anyone?
Yeah, exactly. My concern is that he ever be around me again. And at the moment, that's not an issue, so I feel better.
All right. Well, him being trapped within our podcast can't possibly affect us ever, so...
I can't imagine how it could.
Yeah, let's go have some pizza.
That sounds like a great plan.